Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd. DesignCrowd is a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com. That's DesignCrowd.com/hack to learn more and receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project, or simply enter discount code HACK when posting a project on DesignCrowd. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is former legal transcriptionist turned brilliant entrepreneur. After being fired in 2011, my guest decided to start freelancing as a legal transcriptionist. In July of 2012, she made $1,300. Next month, she made $2,500. By December of that same year, she was earning over $4,000 a month. But her entrepreneurial spirit quickly got a hold of her, and she started building a business teaching others to become courtroom transcriptionist proofreaders. She now runs proofreadanywhere.com, a very high six-figure company, and apparently she plays a lot of Nintendo. Now, let's hack Caitlin Pyle. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur was brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Are you inspired to do something huge? Are you kept awake at night with ideas for new businesses? And do you crave the hustle that comes with starting from the ground up? Concordia University, Wisconsin has a new MBA in innovation and entrepreneurship. It's perfect, whether you want to start your own company or innovate within an existing organization. It has a strong focus on making the world a better place through social impact. You'll gain the skills and prestige that come with an MBA while also working on your own business plan. Students even get the opportunity to compete for seed money. It's available 100% online and can be completed in under 2 years. Plus, it's designed for busy professionals. Every student gets a dedicated success advisor who helps you keep your life in balance while you study. Go to onlineinfo.cuw.edu/hack to learn more. If you decide to apply, enter the coupon code HACK and Concordia University, Wisconsin will waive your application fee. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Caitlin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. I'm happy to be here.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Yeah, me too. We've been kind of playing tag, huh?
Exactly. So let's jump into it. Caitlin, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Oh man, I think I'd have to say just being myself and being transparent. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that's like, oh, just be yourself. But those same people might have like, you know, giant plastered Photoshop pictures of themselves all over their website. I have like one picture of me and that's like what I use for everything. Like, this is what I look like, guys. And you know, I invite my followers to follow me on my actual Facebook. So, you know, they can actually get to know who I really am. And on my, you know, Instagram and everything, I share real pictures of myself, my life. And so we found a cat the other day and we fed the cat, posted a picture of that. Like, so they see that I'm a real person and I don't try to create some kind of image, like a marketing image of myself, even though, you know, the picture I use is a nice picture. It's like, there's just that one, you know, so not constantly doing photo shoots to try to create an image of myself. And I really feel like that's contributed a lot to my success because people feel like they can approach me.
Nice. It's a good photo. I would keep it if I had it too. So is this something, this transparency, I mean, it's kind of like a buzz sort of word now, but I feel super, super strong about it too. But is this something you were always sort of good at, like when you came online starting a business, or was this something you had to sort of like grow into realizing that it would help your business, like showing a picture of your cat and such?
I think both. I think in the beginning, maybe it was a little too transparent. So I would share too much to where it would actually hurt my business. Not in a way, I would just share too much about, like, give away too much of my information instead of what I should hold back. And so people were actually just taking my free stuff and like circumventing the training. And now I'm still transparent, but I'm more reserved about what I give away, you know? So if somebody asks, which I get asked all the time, well, I already know how to proofread, you know, I have a proofreading product. I already know how to proofread, but I just need to know how to get clients. Can you just tell me that? And they just like want me to give away all this stuff. Like that's the bread and butter of the program is our marketing module. And so now I just get really frank about it. And it's like, I'm not going to tell you because I don't want somebody who doesn't know what they're doing out there trying to find clients. And I don't feel nervous about being front with people about that anymore by saying like, I know unless you can answer these 12 questions and I already know they can't answer, but I give them to them anyway about this type of work that you're not prepared for this. And yeah, I'm definitely more, I try to deter people and I make no qualms about it. You know, not everybody is a good fit for hanging out with me, so to speak, and like letting me be their teacher, but you know, I'm not rude about it, but I also am just really upfront. And I say, you know, I want to be able to have high quality students in my courses. And if that's not you, then, you know, bye kind of thing. So, and people seem to like that. They're like, you know, I wanted to try out your course. So they'll buy the first two modules, which is what we get everybody to do is buy the first two modules first. And they're really grateful that I, because they're like, I wanted to buy the whole thing, but then, you know, you didn't let me. And so I bought this and I bombed the test. And it turns out that I'm not quite ready for it yet. So maybe I'll come back. But otherwise, you know, you saved me $700. So they're actually really grateful for it.
Yeah. And they are. And I think something, I know it's something I struggled with, but people like actually want to support people that they like.
Yeah.
And know that they could help them. They don't just want everything for free, or, and there are some people obviously, but we don't typically want to be dealing with those people anyways, because they're usually the worst for like complaining about everything. And so that's, yeah. So that's the interesting thing. It's like showing yourself, but then also sharing content and giving some stuff away and like helping people. But at the same time, you can't give away the farm because that's what people pay for.
Right.
Yeah. So let's go back if we can a bit, Caitlin, because you've been, well, I don't exactly know how long you've been at this game yourself. I believe you were freelancing for quite some time, and then I guess you productized sort of that service into a business, which is really, really smart and cool. But I know going through it, it doesn't always make sense. But when you look back, there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they've like realized one of two things. Either they had this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they just found that they were kind of unemployable and couldn't work for somebody else anymore. So could you take me back to when you sort of discovered this about yourself and then which side of the fence you see yourself on?
Oh man, going back to high school, I think I knew I didn't want to work for anybody else. And about 3 months before I graduated from college, I started working for somebody else. And I did have some jobs here and there, but I recognized how I reacted towards bosses. Like I always recognized their shortcomings and they were always really annoying and they never really understood what it was like to be me. And like some of them were just flat out incompetent. And I just kept finding myself in a position with bosses who were just horrible or unfit or just, you know, I knew I was smarter than them and it really bothered me. And so I kind of always can't really call it an attitude. I just kind of had this, you know, just air about me where I was just like, this is not what I want to do. You know, I always wanted to work for myself. I always wanted to just be the captain of my own ship. And so I think back as far as like middle of high school, I felt that way. And then I actually got fired from my last corporate job. And that kind of put the nail in the coffin. I was like, it was just a really bad firing where they're just saying horrible things to me and, you know, just really unprofessional. And I knew just right then that I would never go back to that, you know, and I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know, you know, how I was going to make the income. I didn't know how I was going to make things work, but I knew, you know, it was going to have to work. And I think deep down there was part of me that knew that I could create the income. I didn't have to depend on somebody else.
Nice. I love it. So you're just a born rebel / entrepreneur. It's just
kind of, I just hate listening to other people and like, I hate authority. I've always hated it. I hated having to ask for permission to use the bathroom and, you know, basic human functions you really shouldn't have to ask permission for, even if you are 18. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you're 18 and you're a senior in high school. You really shouldn't have to ask permission to go pee. Like, you just shouldn't. And I just resented that so much.
I do. And as an aside, just as you just saying it, like, in the exact words that have been in my head so many times, it's weird sometimes, like, when you are in high school, because you feel like, oh, like, maybe I'm just weird for thinking this stuff, but that's still how I think. But then you realize that there are other people out there that think that way. Yeah, and now we're all doing cool stuff. It's really
awesome.
We
really are.
So that's cool. So then did you go, like, from your last corporate job, was that in any way related into what you ended up sort of freelancing into, or what was sort of the progression there?
Yeah, it absolutely was. I worked at a court reporting office, and I worked first as a receptionist, and I got promoted to transcript production, which is where I learned about proofreading. And then I got promoted into marketing, even though I really didn't know anything about marketing. They thought I did. And so I was really good at content writing and, you know, creating marketing materials and things like that. And so they put me into marketing and then, like, try to make me go out on sales calls. Like, they really had this convoluted idea of what marketing was. And they thought marketing and sales were the same thing, and they're just not. So that really frustrated me. But that's where I learned how to proofread. And ironically, the woman who fired me and said, you know, tons of mean things to me unprofessionally and whatnot, she was the one who gave me my first transcript to proofread. And so I really have her to thank for, you know, she was just like the last stepping stone into where I needed to go. So if I didn't work there and I never got fired, most definitely would not be where I am today. So I'm really grateful to her.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So from the corporate job to just freelance, exactly what you were already doing then, and then productize the service and turn it into a scalable business.
Yep, exactly.
That's a journey. I love it. Okay, so now at the beginning, Caitlin, you said your one thing is that being yourself, that transparency has really sort of related you to your market and potential market. Now, every expert in business talks about the 80-20 rule in business. You're supposed to do 20% of the work to get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Can you, Caitlin, please tell me something that you were absolutely not good at in your business?
Oh man, that's a good question. So I think it's probably just the mundane, I can't even call it mundane, but staying on task, like scheduling all my social media. I have somebody who helps me with that and just curating the content for it and keeping it fresh and keeping it up to date. I just can't do it. Like, just sitting there and filling up the queue and making sure everything's set and, like, finding the content and just cycling it through all the time. Like, I can't do it. So I very happily delegate that. And I guess probably a close second would be kind of not the actual writing of the blog posts and stuff, but the little things that go with it. Like, it just takes me so long to just do all the little tasks, like filling in the SEO, creating the image, placing the image, doing all the social media plugin stuff, and then creating the newsletter and just all these like little details. So I'm in the middle of like delegating all of that now, and it just feels great. I love it.
So you like to write the posts, but it's all that publishing that's the pain.
Yeah. I mean, even sometimes the bringing it into a draft. So a lot of times I'll have somebody else draft, like, based on my idea. I'll kind of give them an outline. They'll draft it, and then I'll go through and edit it. So it saves me even more time. If I tell them, you know, use this post to create a new post, and then a list of backlinks that I want them to use, and kind of an outline for how I see it going, and or maybe an example, or, you know, just some resources they can use to build it, then they'll run with it, and then I'll go through and edit that. I just did that right before we got on the call. I was like delegating like a new post idea to one of my people.
I love it. So you are building a team around you at this point?
Yeah. I've got one who's an office manager, and she's kind of my right-hand person. She can do basically anything I can. I wouldn't call her, you know, just exactly at my level yet, but she's definitely gotten a lot better since we've been working together. And I guess it's been about 7 months now. And then she just kind of brought on somebody underneath her that she's going to be training to take over some of her tasks. So she's going to be delegating what I delegate to her. And, but it's just nice to have that one person who can kind of just fan out everything to all of our people. So, but yeah, we have a team of 3-4 people that work just for Proofread Anywhere.
Wow. Nice. Are they local or distributed?
Distributed. I've never met any of them in person.
Nice. I love it. Okay. So we're going to move on to projects now. Projects is a really loose term, but It could be a new course or any new sort of project that you'd want to take on. I'm sure lots of ideas come to you as an entrepreneur or come through your inbox at this point. But as your team grows, this might have changed. But what is the process? And is it a written process you have or just an internal process? But how do you decide right now, Caitlin, when a project is worth not only yours, but now your team's time, energy, and resources?
That's a really good question, too. You know, I start thinking about it, and then I start thinking about the end result. And if I think that, I'll just kind of give you an example. I've been kind of on some of my affiliates, and I have affiliates to help me sell my proofreading course. And I've been kind of on them to do kind of a joint post, because I not only have Proofread Anywhere, I have Transcribe Anywhere, and then I have another course on scoping, which is kind of another process with court reporting. And so we have three different courses that I'm in charge of marketing for. And I've been trying to get somebody to put together a post about all three of them because they're all interlaced and related. And nobody's jumped on it yet, but I think it's a great idea. And so I'm just going to do it myself, and I can, you know, disseminate the article just like they would and, you know, get more of a benefit because I won't have to pay them as the affiliate because I'll be the affiliate kind of, you know? And so, yeah, we're just going to, I just started putting that together. And that's one of the posts that I put an outline together for one of my people. And I think about the end result, and I think, you know, is somebody else going to do this? And why can't I do it? And how hard it would be? It's actually easier for me to put it together than them. And I think the result will actually be better than if an affiliate did it. And so I just think that, you know, this post will benefit not just my proofreading course, but my other outlets as well. So it's definitely worthwhile. You think about the benefits.
Yeah, totally. So it sounds like projects like that are now almost less of a hurdle to you and will become less of a hurdle to you the more you build out your team, because it's not just you that has to do all of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would be totally overwhelmed if I had everything on my plate that my team is currently working on all for me, you know, and that's why it's worth it to have people that you can delegate to. Yes, it costs them money or costs me money, but you're helping them out for one. You know, this is their small business. This is their freelance business. And it's kind of like you're just helping a local economy, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But you're also getting so much more done. You know, I couldn't be expanding the autoresponders and creating new posts and answering this interview, like creating and then answering all my emails and then, you know, doing my social media. I couldn't do it all myself. And for a while I tried to, and then it just became where I just couldn't. And if you try, even if like, that's why I kind of an office manager now. And that's, I think, great advice for any entrepreneur is put somebody else in charge and let them manage you. And so she is the one who rolls all the balls now. She's the middle spoke of the wheel. It used to be me where, you know, I'd have all these freelancers picture me in the middle of the wheel. And I'd have all these freelancers around me that were helping me with different tasks. And when one freelancer would finish, she'd roll the ball back to me and I'd have to take the ball and roll it to somebody else. Well, now they're all kind of connected thanks to my office manager. And so she kind of manages them. And then she puts together like a list of things that I need to do every week. And she calls it the batch work list. And so she'll make a list of everything that I need to pay attention to. And I'll pick one or two days a week where I'll just work on that list. And if it's not on the list, then I'm probably not going to do it. And so I'm allowing myself to be managed because it keeps me on task and keeps me focused on the things I need to focus on. And I let them handle everything else.
I love it. So It's interesting too, because you hired an office manager first. When most people want to go to like a low level sort of VA, and then you just have to manage them and continue being that middle spoke. So what was your thought process to like hire? It sounds like you definitely hired somebody higher level to help you and then to manage you. I mean, was that sort of your thought behind it?
Well, it was kind of interesting because she was actually one of my students. She'd graduated from my proofreading course and graduated from the transcription course that I helped manage. And so she had built up a little freelance business for herself. And we were doing an interview, which I haven't even published yet because I got so excited. But I was interviewing her about her success with both of the courses. And I happened to mention that I was looking for a virtual assistant just in passing. I don't even remember what the context was. And she contacted me after the video interview and said, you know, what kind of help are you looking for? And I just loved her attitude. I loved talking to her and I loved how helpful she was in the group, my student group already. And I just thought it would be a natural transition. And I actually had to train her for quite a while, you know, several months. I had to kind of get her on board with doing things my way, but she was so motivated and learned so quickly that it was very much worth it. And once we got things kind of organized, it made it a lot easier. I did have a VA, just one VA answering emails, probably, gosh, like we launched in February of 2015. And by March, I needed help answering emails. So for about a year, I had her helping me answer emails, but she really didn't have the skill to do anything else and really needed handholding if I wanted to give her like a little task, like, you know, making a spreadsheet or something like that. And a lot of times it would take her 5 hours and it would come back and it would not be anything I wanted. And so I ended up having to let her go, but it did take a lot of time to train somebody just because the things I do are quite specialized. It's not just, you know, a general blog topic. It's very unique and specialized, and having her, you know, she's taken the course. She knows, she's had a lot of the same questions that people are asking, and she knows, she just knows the industry. So I definitely needed that. And so that was kind of my thought process, is to kind of hire within somebody who's taken my product, knows the product, and it's really worked out well.
I love it. I love it. That's like some of the best advice is really to always look within your own market or audience already, because they know your stuff and they like you, and they don't have to be brought up to speed on like the whole sort of brand and all that. They know that and are part of it.
Exactly. So we bring in, and I have tried to bring in somebody from the outside, and I was paying them even more than I'm paying my office manager. And I ended up just, I think, kept them on for a couple months, and they did have some benefit. Like we got onto a project management software and really got organized. And, but after that, it was just like, they wanted projects, but they were charging me $75 an hour to do these projects. And my office manager and her team were getting more done than the team I was paying like $1,500 a month. And it was just crazy. I could pay both of them $1,500 a month about, or even $2,000 a month. And we could get probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times more done because they know the product, and it's just, it don't take so long to do it because they don't need to get my input on everything.
Exactly. Exactly. And now the dark side of projects. So projects, I mean, as much as, or as little as you might have to work on them yourself because you can delegate them out, it's still, and sometimes it's even worse now when you're putting it out to a team, at least to some people. But as entrepreneurs, right, and as humans in general, one of our greatest struggles is that fear of being wrong, making a mistake and failing with that new project and that new endeavor. So Caitlin, when you decide to do a new project with your team and put everyone onto that train to go after it, and then when it comes back that it just isn't working and it just isn't right, can you sort of walk me through like how to be wrong within your business?
Just be honest and upfront about it. It would be probably my biggest piece of advice, to just saying, you know, guys, this is not working. We're going to let this project die, or, you know, let's table this for a while. And then, you know, just take a stand about it. Don't ask for too many opinions. Like if you know it's not working, you have a bad feeling about it, your team, they work for you, you know, and so they will respect what you have to say. And if your opinion is this is not going to work, and you can, sometimes it helps to, you know, have like, for example, my office manager is kind of my sounding board. And so if I'm having some feelings about it not really working out, I'll like bounce them off of her, and she'll usually give me confirmation or a different perspective if I'm not seeing that angle or something like that. But if we both agree on it, then we'll pull the plug on whatever the project is. And then we just don't talk about it because we got other things to do.
That's true. Do you also though iterate and sort of like move a project like, oh, it just needs to be tweaked. Maybe it's just not pitched right, or we just need to get the offer correct, or is it just like table, let's move on?
Yeah, that's happened to us before, where we were trying to create a whole different product, and then we're like, how about we just, instead of create a whole different product, add this product to the end of an existing product and then market the product differently. And that's exactly what we did. And it's been great. You know, it's a lot less confusing. It saved us a lot of work, and it's actually increased our sales. So we've been really happy about it.
I love it. I love it. All right, Caitlin, this has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you. It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we seem to always be projecting our successes personally into the future, meaning that to you in 1 month when you hit that revenue goal, in 3 months when you launch that new course and it's successful, in 6 months when you hit that other metric, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet you and I both know that right before you hit that, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger, loftier goals into the future. And from the outside, you can look really, really successful, yet from the inside, it's always in the future. And much like walking towards the horizon, the further you walk, the further away it always gets. So I would love it right now, Caitlin, if you could. You've been at this quite a while. You've been wanting to be an entrepreneur, and it's ingrained within you. But if you could stop right now, turn and look behind you, and tell me how you feel about the journey up until today.
Oh man, I have just loved it. It's definitely not been easy. So I look back and I'm like, crap, you know, I worked a lot. I worked myself into a drunken stupor. No, there were days though where, you know, I just worked a 14-hour day, and the only thing that could, you know, take that edge off and just calm my brain down was a couple of glasses of wine and, you know, a good amount of Netflix or whatever, you know. And so looking back though, it's all been worth it because I can step back and look at what it's become. And I was just looking at my blog today, looking for some things I could backlink to. And I was like, wow, you know, there's so much content here and there's so much we can actually put new life into and reuse, and just how, like, look at what I've built. And a year and a half ago, I guess it'll be 2 years since Proofread Anywhere launched, and in November, it'll be 2 years. And this wasn't here at all. And so I look back and I just feel really proud. And I know that there's going to be new things getting added. And sometimes I get so caught up in projects that I'm like, all right, when I get done with this, I'm not going to do anything. And I actually just came off of kind of a productivity lull, or like the first half of the year, I was just, you know, zooming through and doing so much. And then around June, I kind of backed off a little bit. And then August and this beginning part of September, I really backed off. And now I'm kind of getting more into a productivity, you know, kind of an uptick in that kind of thing. And now I'm excited about it. But I look back and I'm like, you know, I didn't have to work so hard all the time. I probably could have enjoyed the ride a little bit more. And now, so I'm really focusing on that, just doing the 80-20 principle and really focusing on enjoying my life and not just, you know, how productive can I be? How much more money can I make? Because everybody knows, and maybe I think it's probably the same in Canada, but they say around, you know, if you're making $70,000 a year, that you can't make too much more than that to increase your happiness by, it's like marginal increase of happiness after $70,000 a year. And so I'm like, I'm doing real good, you know? And so like my focus is not on increasing the money, it's just increasing the happiness. And so what am I doing in my daily life that is making me happy? And it's not working for 14 hours. I'll maybe work like 1 to 3 hours max, and usually before noon. And I try to schedule everything work related to happen before noon. And then in the afternoon, you know, I'll make some food and I'll play my Nintendo. I'll go for a bike ride. I'll do whatever I want. And I love it that way. You know, I love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Like literally play your Nintendo?
Yeah. I have a Nintendo Wii U.
That's awesome. That's cool. I love it. And I think you're right. Those whole, like having those lulls, like the ebbs and flows of productivity. Obviously when you're launching something, you have to kind of go after it, but
yeah,
there has to be those, you have to take downtime just the way it is.
And it really pays off. You really feel good and you feel refreshed, and like, it's just, life is about more than making money and being productive. And I think those lulls are built in when you're an entrepreneur. They're built in. They're not faults or defects.
Right. I love it. I love it. All right, Caitlin, we've got to talk about your business sort of in passing, but now could we specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about your business and where to track you down online?
Sure, sure. So if you're interested in learning more about my story, my background, and, you know, kind of the tumultuous climb that we've experienced, you can go to theworkanywherelife.com. And contact me or my husband through the contact form there, or proofreadanywhere.com. You can look me up on Facebook, Caitlin Pyle. You'll see my little picture. You can find me on Pinterest, LinkedIn, anywhere, Twitter. I'm everywhere. So just Google Caitlin Pyle and you'll find me. And I'd love to chat about anything you want to talk about.
I love it. I love it. I missed that first URL. Work anywhere?
It's theworkanywherelife.com. So you'll learn. Yeah, we actually were in South America for a whole year working anywhere.
That's
so
awesome.
If you can work in South America, you literally can work anywhere. So we made it happen. And so we blogged a lot about that and kind of our journey to becoming entrepreneurs and hitting, you know, our first six figures and then seven. And it's just been a wild ride. So that's where we keep all of that.
Excellent. TheWorkAnywhereLife.com, ProofreadAnywhere, and TranscribeAnywhere.com. And Caitlin Pyle is on all social media. I'll get all those links for you in the show notes on hacktheentrepreneur.com. So when you're done working out, jogging, running, whatever it is you're doing, they'll be there waiting for you. Caitlin, once again, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and chat today. I 100% truly appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome and inspiring to watch.
Yeah, you too, John. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Caitlin, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun, and I hope you are right now enjoying your Nintendo. That was cool. That was a lot of fun, and it's cool how your husband, Ben, came into the conversation a few times, and it's great. Ben's going to be on the show in a couple weeks, actually, which is really cool. I like showing, it'll be cool. You'll be able to contrast the differences in, and I've never talked to Ben, but I'm just assuming that he's different in a lot of ways, at least entrepreneurially, within the way he thinks and acts. Usually that's how partners that work well together, especially in business, are sort of have, they come with their unique talents. So it'll be interesting for sure. And so with this conversation, it's always fun to take part in the conversation. And I take notes, I mark down times of things I should go back and listen to. And so I did that. I went back and I listened to this conversation again. And there were some things that Caitlin said that I really grabbed me. And so I went back again and I listened. And then I went back one more time and listened. That last time I went through, there was this one thing that Caitlin said that was so very, very clear. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Well, I've been kind of on some of my affiliates, and I have affiliates to help me sell my proofreading course, and I've been kind of on them to do kind of a joint post because I not only have Proofread Anywhere, I have Transcribe Anywhere, and then I have another course on scoping, which is kind of another process with court reporting. And so we have three different courses that I'm in charge of marketing for, and I've been trying to get somebody to put together a post about all three of them because they're all interlaced and related. And nobody's jumped on it yet, but I think it's a great idea. And so I'm just going to do it myself.
And that's the hack. Caitlin. I love this. And I maybe don't even love this for the reasons that you... No, I think I do. So this is, to me, what it's going to take, that mindset that's going to take for you to become that entrepreneur that you want to do, to succeed in business the way that Caitlin has and the way that you probably want to. Obviously, like Caitlin says later in the conversation, you have to define success for yourself. I mean, nobody else can do that for you. But this idea where she comes up with this great idea, she reaches out to her affiliates, people who get paid to promote her products, and she can't get them on board with this great idea that will help them. Now, I'm not concerned with the affiliates. That's not my concern with this. But so many people in Caitlin's position would allow other people, affiliates at this point, to sort of dictate and decide, kind of be the quote-unquote gatekeepers for her success in this way, for her pushing ahead and doing this promotion. It would be like, oh, well, just nobody wants to do it for me. And she's just like, well, no one wants, so I'm going to do it. She'll disseminate the information in the same way. She'll do the promotions in the same way. And she'll actually make more money because it'll be the promotions, but she was trying to help. But the idea is that there's going to be so many people and so many companies and so many things at every different almost intersection of your business that are going to or could potentially stop you from doing the things that you want to do because they don't help you. They don't respond to your email. They don't say yes to you. They don't give you that contract. Whatever it is, don't let those people dictate what it is that you do. Just decide what it is. And yes, ask people, ask for advice, ask for help, ask if people want, like ask for the sale, all those things like Caitlin did. But when it doesn't, when you don't get the answer that you want, don't stop, right? It goes back to that whole, don't stop when you're tired or don't stop when somebody says no, stop when you're done. Caitlin wasn't finished at that point, so she continued on and she's going to follow it through herself. And I love that mindset. And I think that it's absolutely necessary to carry that mindset with you. Caitlin, Thank you so much. Whew, that was a lot of fun. I'm quite enjoying the new studio here in Toronto. So yeah, it's cool. Lots of people have been reaching out to me. We got some cool interest. It's going to be a fun group of people in November. Sorry, it's just mid-September, but I'm just kind of swamped right now with meeting people, doing things. I have some conferences to attend, and so I can't get the meetup any sooner, but early November or second week of November, we'll probably be doing it. So yeah, keep reaching out to me via Twitter, email, whatever you wish. And yeah, just let me know if you're interested, and then I will be putting out information to you further once I just figure out a place. It's gonna be a lot of fun. It'll just be, you know, an evening together, chatting, helping each other out, see what we can do. Yeah, it'll be good though. John@hacktheentrepreneur is my email, so you can reach out that way. Or if you spend a lot of time on Twitter like I do, then that's also a great place. All right, this has been fun. Thank you so much for taking the time to stop by. You know that I truly, truly appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.